Amen. Amen. All right, let's continue the spirit of praise here tonight. Let's turn to 464. 464 is, I will praise him. Give him glory, all you people, for his blood can wash away our stains tonight. 464, I will praise him. When I saw the friends found me, does not say, blessed be the name of Jesus, I'm so glad for my car. Blessed be the name of Jesus, I'm so glad for my job. Blessed be the name of Jesus, I'm so glad for my wife, or my home, or my food, or my shoes, my house, my blessings. Blessed be the name of Jesus, I'm so glad when I was without hope, without God in this world, He took me in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for that alone. Could you praise Him? Could you praise Him for that alone? Could I praise Him without all the other things that He that spared not His own Son, but delivered it up for us all? How shall not He also with Him freely give us all things? And He does. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. No matter what, I'm blessed. I have you. I have that book. I have the Spirit of God. I have men and women in this church that love me, that'll pray for me, that'll watch for me. I am blessed. But without that, still, blessed. Blessed, blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow to the things in heaven and earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Glory, glory, glory to His name for washing me from my sins in His own blood. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Might those praises tonight simply draw us to Him, to trust Him more. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Let's do one more, and then we have a special coming. One more, I just saved plenty of room and time for this one. Let's do page number 49, Our Great Savior. Let's sing about Jesus, the friend for sinners, Jesus, the lover of our soul. Amen. Our Great Savior tonight. We have a great Savior. All right, come on, join me now. Jesus, my friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior. I was admonished by the scriptures to sing with the understanding, because this would look foolish, right, if we didn't understand who we were singing about and who we were praising. This is our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, the King of heaven, the King of glory, the King of angels, who saw me. God so loved me, and he came down, took every single one of my dirty, rotten sins, bore them in his own body on a tree, went down to hell, put those sins in hell, and now simply says, come. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you grace. I will give you mercy, salvation. Whatever you need tonight, it's found in that man, our great, my great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you didn't come away with three other words, I hope you come away with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you come away with that tonight. No matter where you are, even when your heart's breaking, even when you are weak, even when you make mistakes, even when you screw it up, Jesus Christ is with you till the end if you let him. If you let him. If you let him. I'm going to look at that last verse again. If you're not saved, please, I beseech you, I earnestly beseech you tonight, pay attention to Jesus Christ. Jesus, I do now receive him. As many as have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus Christ wants to adopt you and make you a son, a daughter of God tonight. Receive him. Receive him. He's the greatest heavenly, he's the greatest father there is. Receive him. I have now received him. More than all in him I find. He is all and all. He will be your supply, your sufficiency, your grace, your comfort, everything you need. More than all in Jesus Christ. You can find that tonight. You can find that. He's granted me forgiveness. Forgiveness. This world is an unforgiving, cruel, ungodly, unkind world. But you'll find that forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Not in a religion, not in Baptist, Christian, Methodist. Whatever you want to do, you won't find forgiveness in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I am his. I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to God. And he belongs to you. He is yours. He is yours. Our great Savior. What a Savior. He's worthy. I don't care where you are tonight. He's worthy, worthy to be praised. Just for forgiving me of my sins. Let's do that last one on the fifth. Jesus, receive him tonight. Jesus, I do now receive him. Praise Jesus Christ. You may be seated. That's great singing. I believe we have a special here tonight for the Galeotos. The Galeotos, if you're ready to sing, if you could come, the Galeotos. I believe they're singing here tonight.
Microphones.
Stay put. That was such a blessing. We'll do it again. Why don't we? All right. Why don't we stand together? That was 255. I learned that from somewhere. 255. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That's my story. That's our story. Jesus Christ is ours tonight. We'll do this one more, and Pastor will come ahead. 255. Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song.
Vision, perfect divine, visions of rapture. Amen. If you are visiting tonight, we're in the midst of a week-long series of meetings. All week long, we have the privilege of having Brother Dave Spurgeon with us, dear friend and evangelist. And we've been blessed. The week is just getting started, and it's already been a tremendous time together in God's Word. So I hope you came expectantly tonight. Hope you came praying and hoping to get something from God tonight. And if you did, the Lord will give something to you tonight. He'll speak to your heart. He'll help you tonight. And that's our hope and prayer for you as well. We have some visitors tonight we want to say hello to. Mike's got Anthony Mino. And this is Christian's dad, Christian Mino, who, amen, praise the Lord. And Christian got saved here and is away with some friends of ours in Missouri for a few more months. And we're so happy to have his father here today. What a blessing. And this is Scott, right? Scott, this is not your first time here. It is first time here in the service? Okay. All right. Well, good to have you here this evening, Scott. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now, there's someone here tonight who's not here for the first time, but this is her first time tonight here as a married lady. And Vinny and Proda and his wife, Twee, are here. Did you know they were married? Come on, stand up, Vinny. Amen. Amen. Still newlyweds. So happy to have them in service tonight. Okay, let's see. Who else? And I think we have I don't know who's running the show over at Royal Crown tonight, because I think we got the entire, staff here tonight in church with us. And it's such a blessing. I want to first of all introduce Brittany. Brittany just got saved not long ago, a few days ago, I think. Brittany, just hold your hand up. I see you right there. This is Brittany. Praise the Lord. My wife and I have a very funny story with Brittany. And we stopped at Royal Crown a couple of weeks ago. We were on our way into the city to make a visit on Vivian in the hospital. And I think it was Sunday, right? And it was one of those days, it was so busy, we hadn't had dinner, and it was like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. And so we stopped at Royal Crown to grab something to eat. And still in my suit, dressed up, ready to go to the hospital, see Vivian. We had a nice meal, reach in my pocket. I don't have my wallet. I don't have any money. I don't have any credit cards. I got nothing. And I'm the pastor of the church. I go, oh, it's all right. I got my wife. She's got her stuff. Honey, you know, you can buy me dinner tonight. She looks in her purse and she's got nothing. She's got no money, no credit cards. There we are. Like, all right, now what do we do? So I'm trying to think, well, which one of our church members lives close enough for me to borrow money from? That's why I called you, Tony. I never told you why I called. Tony lives around the corner, tried to get a hold of Carl. Carl, where are you? Said, okay, well, who can I call? So finally, I couldn't get anybody. I go, what am I going to do here? Like, so I called Stefano, and Stefano saved the day. I don't know if he's here tonight, but Stefano said, all right, listen, what table are you sitting at? So I described what table. He says, all right, I'll call you right back. So then I see the phone ring behind the counter, and the manager picks up the phone, and he turns around and looks at us. Was like, yeah, it's those people over in the corner over there. But I wanted to make sure Brittany knew we were going to leave her. So I said, please go get our waitress. Go get Brittany. She'd been waiting on us that evening. So Brittany came over and I said, hon, listen, this is the story. This is the honor. I'm not trying to get out of my bill tonight. I said, but so while I'm talking to Brittany, the manager came over and hands me an envelope. He said, Stefano said to give this to you. I said, okay, open it up. There's $200 in it. Okay. So we got a meal and $200. Now, I'm not going to try that again, but so that worked out. It worked out pretty good for us that night. But Brittany was our waitress, and so happy to know that you've gotten saved, Brittany. And it's a blessing to have you here tonight in the service. All right. And this is Pete, is it? Right? Pete right here. Pete, thanks for coming tonight. Amen. And Eugene is here somewhere. Eugene, Right here, amen. Good to have you with us, Eugene. Thanks for being here tonight. Now let's see, did I miss anybody? Chris has his mom here. Put your phone away, Chris. I got you on your phone. This is Daisy, and I think she came for Chris's baptism, but this is nice to have you tonight here for the service. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming tonight. All right, did we miss anybody? You're here for the first time, and we didn't embarrass you already? No? Nobody else? Okay. I just want to mention, before we sing a little bit more, Brother Spurgeon's biography is available on the back table. I know many of you already have it and have read it, but if you don't have that, please, I recommend you get that and read that. But it's available there on the back table, as well as some gospel tracts that have the story of his salvation, how he came to know the Lord in prison, and what the Lord's done with his life since then. And I know that would be a blessing too. Take those. The tracts are free. The books are not, but you'll figure it out when you get back there. There's a little sign on the table back there. But take all the tracts that you want. And we pass those out all over Staten Island. We have given away tens of thousands of them here on the island. And by the time we're done, every home on Staten Island is going to have one of those tracts in it. We started at the bottom and are working our way all the way up to the North Shore and giving out the Gospel of John as well as Brother Spurgeon's testimony is going to each and every one of those homes. So take some for yourself, take them home, hand them out during the week. All right? Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask the ushers, if you would. We're going to receive the offering right now. If I could just get a few of you guys back there. The offerings throughout this week, we keep none of it. It's all a love offering for the evangelist. And we're grateful that we get to have him here with us once a year. And he's been such a blessing to this church. And has he been a blessing to you personally? I mean, have you not gotten something good every time you've been here this week, right? It's been a tremendous blessing. So, but if you'd like to be a blessing to him and his family and his ministry, then you give tonight. You're under no obligation. This is between you and the Lord. But if you would like to help him, help his ministry, and just express your love, if you appreciate what you've received, then this is a love offering toward him and his wife and the work that they do. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful that we could be back together again this evening. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us and given to us. But, Lord, most of all, thank you for who you are. Help us to appreciate and lay hold on the truth of who you are. You are worthy. You are worthy tonight, Lord, of our worship and our praise. You are worthy tonight for every one of us that knows you as Savior, Lord, to lay our lives down at your feet for all you have given and done for us, Lord. And I pray that the truth of who you are and the truth of what you've done will be impressed upon each and every person again this evening through the preaching of your word. Be with our preacher tonight, Lord. Fill him with your spirit. Speak to this crowd this evening. Lord, I don't know, there may be some in this room this evening that don't know you as their Savior, and I pray that you'd help them to understand what that means. Have your way in all of this meeting, and Lord, to thank you that even in this part, when we give, Lord, we can further the gospel tonight by giving unto thee. We pray it'll be a blessing to our brother and his wife and the ministry, and Lord, may it glorify thee, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of fearing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold. man upon his cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. See from it.
If you could join me in standing one last time before Brother Spurgeon comes ahead to preach. If you could join me in standing and grab that blue hymnal, and we'll sing 228. 228 is My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. 228, as Brother Spurgeon comes ahead and preaches, 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place tonight.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor free. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated, Pastor.
Bible, we have some extras this evening. You'll want one so that you could follow along with the message, and we'd be very happy to give you one if you came in without a Bible tonight. Does anybody need a Bible this evening so that you could follow along with the message? Just lift your hand and we'll give you one for free. Anyone at all? Have you got a Bible tonight? All right. You got your Bible? Hold your Bible up if you got one tonight. All right. Pat, give a Bible to everybody that's not got one up in the end. All right. Amen. All right, thank you very much. All right, and at this time, we're going to have Brother Dave Spurgeon come and preach for us. Come ahead, brother.
Lord,
we love you very much, and we're so thankful that you're here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I am thankful to be here, my friend. Amen. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. That was some outstanding song leading, preaching. Amen. I feel like the third preacher at a camp meeting already or something. I tell you what, there's enough already given to give a gospel invitation. I mean, whether you need to get saved or just get right with God, you heard enough to do either one. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be saved. And, a preacher called me from just outside of Nashville, Tennessee today. And a guy I've known for years. And first thing everybody says to me when they call is, where are you? Because everybody knows I'm moving around. And I said, New York City. And he says, just like everyone else, oh my. Well, pray for you. Can I move this? Because I just did. Amen. That's what they all say. And people say, how can you go to New York City? And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This is the best kept secret in the United States. Amen. I love coming here. I'm edified by you folks. Amen. I don't come here for the Statue of Liberty. I come here for you. And I intend to continue to keep coming for you. As long as you'll have me. As long as I can keep my wife right with God and you guys don't fire us. Amen. But they say, how can you go to New York City? I go, why? What do you mean? And they all say the same thing. There's so much sin there. And I thought we were in the ministry. Where are we supposed to stay, in North Carolina? Stay in the Bible Belt. Speaking of the Bible Belt, there were two good old boys from down there somewhere, and they loved to fish. They were fishermen. They'd done all kinds of fishing, and then they got a magazine that talked about ice fishing. And it never gets cold enough down there to do any ice fishing. So they read about a place up north into Canada and heard about this lake where people went up and went ice fishing, and they made up their mind they were going to give that a try. They saved up their money and they got everything they needed and they headed up. And they finally made it to this lake where they were going to do some ice fishing. They stopped at the bait store just before going down to the lake and get a few last things that they needed. And they asked the guy, who obviously could tell they weren't from around those parts. They said, we're going to need some ice picks. And the guy behind the counter, the Canadian, just looked at him and sold him a few ice picks. They went on up and about an hour later, one of them, came back to the bait store and he says, I'm going to need about 10 more ice picks. And the guy kind of chuckled and he says, okay, he sold them to him. And he went on back, and an hour later he came back. And he said, I'm going to need all the ice picks you have. And the guy went and got a box out of the back and sold them to him. And he said, hey, by the way, how you boys doing up there at the lake? The guy said, we're not doing very good. We've been up there 3 hours. We don't even have the boat in the water yet. This is one of the delayed reaction ones. Some of you, should I wait for the rest of you to get it? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. They might not can ice fish, but they'll tell you about New York City. No, I'll tell them about New York City. What a blessing it is to be with y'all. 2 Peter chapter 3 tonight. And we'll begin in verse number 1. Read a couple of verses here. The Bible says this. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He says there in verse number 1, I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Now, what does he mean? He's talking about reminding them of some things they already know. Stir them up. That's my job. His job, pastor's job, is to preach. Pastor's job is to teach. Pastor's job is to counsel. That's why I went into evangelism. My counseling theory goes like this. Get a grip. Are you kidding me? There's a grace that he got I didn't get, I'll tell you. Amen. But my job is to stir people up. And that's what I do week after week. Somebody asked me, Richie, or somebody asked, oh, I wish you could just move here. I said, if I was here for a month, you'd be paying me to leave. I figured out that God let me be an evangelist because I can be on my best behavior for a week, two at the most. And as long as I change locations every week, I'm good. Amen. But he said that's what Peter was to do, and that's what the purpose of the epistle is to do, is I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. And then in verse 2, he said that you may be mindful of the words. And I tell you what, there's been a lot of emphasis. There needs to be a lot of emphasis on the words. On the words. Me and you, we need to be mindful of the words. You know why? There's a lot of distractions out there. There's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of information sources. Therefore, there's a lot of misinformation. And a whole lot of it has to do with the words of God. Beloved, we have the Word of God tonight. Amen. The problem isn't figuring that out. The problem is just trying to live according to it. Amen. It says, be mindful of the words. Why? Why is that so important? John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth. And if I didn't get saved, I got the truth. I was a hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner. The Bible says Christ died to save sinners. I don't know, in my mind, I reasoned that made me qualified. I called upon the name of the Lord from a jail cell, and he saved me. Amen. Because somebody told me the truth. I didn't get religion. I didn't turn over a new leaf. Amen. I responded to the truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. I'll tell you what, don't even try to take my King James Bible. You're going to have a fight on your hands. Amen. Thank God. He says, hey, he tells these folks, he loads them up with some serious doctrine in this chapter. Stuff that professing Christians now, 1900 years later, don't have a clue about. Maybe it's because throughout the words, he tells them to be mindful of the words. And then he says in verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, amen, that's a warning, that's prolific, that's prophetic, that's profoundly applicable to the day and age we live in now. You don't believe that? Go to 2 Timothy chapter, don't do it, but on your own time, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse number 1 says, this know also, along with all the other, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And if you got any wonderment about when he's talking about, read through that list, beloved, we are there. We are there. And he says, knowing this first, there's a lot to follow, but he says, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers. Now, that's not a word I've probably ever heard used outside of the Word of God. Amen. And so I looked it up, and it means this. One who mocks, derides. I mean, if you ever been on the street and it's not near as bad as some try to make it. I was with John the other day down at New Dort Station, and we had more people go by with the thumbs up or wave than we did, you know, anything negative. But sometimes we get it in our mind that, you know, that's martyr. That's martyr material to go out there in public. Usually it's not as bad as you talk yourself into believing it is. Isn't that what we found, John? Yes, it is. Amen. I'll answer for you. And it says, one that mocks, that's a scoffer, derides, and then a scorner. That's not a word we use much either, but it's a word that the Bible uses. And it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, but we know that they were around in the not-so-last days as well. Let me just pick one example. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, it says this, how long, ye simple ones, notice, will you love simplicity and scorners? Scorners delight in their scorning, mocking, deriding, making fun of. Amen. And fools hate knowledge. Now, there's simple, scorner, fool. Now, that's a crowd. You know, I just got to tell you, I don't want to be associated with that crew. Amen. Not a good crowd to be with. But what I'm saying is this. That crowd's always been around. That's always been around. And it didn't stop early Christianity. We're not going to let it stop late Christianity either. But this is what they're doing. It said there, knowing this, verse 3, that there shall come in the last days covered, and then just a little parenthesis, walking after their own lust. Oh, their own lust. Walking after their own lust. Okay, they got an agenda too. Amen. And it's if they can discourage you, then that relieves the conviction on them. That's their agenda. Verse number 4. Here's what they're saying. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Really? Seriously? I mean, does that even make sense to anybody? Amen? That all things continue as they were? We got people that say that kind of thing now. Amen? Evolution and everything is just doing what it's supposed to do. I'm going to tell you what, man, this world is spiraling out of control at an unprecedented rate. Things are not continuing. I'm going to tell you what, you'd have to live in a foxhole in Montana to not see that things are getting out of control exponentially faster than ever before. You don't believe that? Turn the news on. Amen. Follow anything going on in Washington or New York's government, for that matter. Amen. You gave men that. Don't take it personal. Amen. Unless you voted for de Blasio, then take it personal. You need to have your brain examined. Amen. Say, come on, you know I'm only serious. Okay. And it said, where's the promise of his coming? And that's what we're talking about tonight. And I'll give you a couple examples of that promise. It says in Matthew 24 and 44, the Lord said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I'm telling you something, beloved. He's coming. The Bible says, where is the promise of his coming? And the Lord said he's coming. And he said, you better be ready because you're not going to get any notice. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, prepare to meet thy God. Listen, it's been said here tonight. It's been alluded to. It is our point to let you know that if you're not saved, you're not prepared to meet your God. He's still your God. He still made you. You're still going to meet him. But boy, you ain't prepared if you're going to have to answer for your own sins. Amen. And he says, where's the promise of his coming? In John 14, and the Lord said himself in verse 3, and if I go, and he did, and prepare a place for you, and he did, I will come again. That's the most precious promise in the entire Bible to me. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's some things that don't bother me at all, like eternity. Don't bother me at all. I know where I'm going because I got a promise. I just believe the promise. It's not a hope. Amen. Here's the promise I'm looking forward to. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself," he's not sending anybody, it says, "for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Yeah, not a whisper. He's whispering right now. That still small voice of God is saying, "Whosoever will come, let him come." That Bible right now, that still small voice of God is saying, like the brother said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But I'm telling you what, when the Lord comes back to get the church out of here, he's coming back with a shout. And if you're not his, you won't even hear it. You'll hear thunder. You'll hear, who knows? I don't know what you're going to hear. I don't want to know. I'm never going to know. I'm going to hear, "Come up hither, Spurgeon." Amen. Or something like that. Verse 16 there in 1 Thessalonians 4 says again, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Lady said, older lady said one time, "Oh, Brother Spurgeon, you know, somebody's preaching about the second coming," and she said, "about the rapture, like we were talking about there." And she said, "Oh, I hope I don't miss the rapture." And I said, "Well, you're saved, right?" She said, "Oh, yes, I've been saved for 100 years, probably at least 50 years. And I said, "Well, the Bible says that if you're a child of God, the dead in Christ rise first. Ain't nobody going, no saved person is going to miss the rapture. Don't worry about it. You're going to make it." I haven't been saved very long. You talk about going to Brother Ryman's meeting. And I got a chance to go there and preach a youth rally in a weekend. I've been saved a couple of years. I was going to give my testimony. And a couple of Brother Eastep put a couple men go with me, keep me out of trouble. And that was wise of him. And on the way back, we stopped at Arlington National Cemetery. It was over there in Delaware. We're walking from the visitor center up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I take the train now, but I was walking, and here we are, three guys, none of them have been saved very long, and we're thinking about the Lord coming back. We're in this cemetery where there's umpteen thousands of graves, and we started, and there's other people walking around too, and we started having a discussion about, wouldn't it be something if the trumpet blew right now, and graves, I'm talking about in a place where thousands, no doubt thousands, would go up. I mean, that's what's on our mind. What's on your mind tonight? I'm talking about the promise of his coming. Amen. Amen. That ought to excite you, man. That ought to help smooth out every apprehension, every fear, everything that's going on. I'm going to tell you what, I don't have much of anything in control, but I know the one that's got everything in control. Amen. And so he's talking about a promise there, and the scoffers are making fun of the promise of his return, and they're saying, where's the promise of his coming? And I want you to go down to verse number 9, and we're going to get an answer to that question. Now, verse number 9 says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Now, you're clear on the promise, right? It's the promise of his coming. And as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there we're addressing the promise. And I want to say to you, just before I move on, the Lord's not slack concerning any of his other promises either. For example, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says this: "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You've heard that all your life. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Let me tell you something, beloved. That's a promise of God tonight. And if you're playing around with sin, and you think you're getting away with it, I want to help you with that. You're not getting away with it. God will not be mocked. You're deceiving yourself. But the reason, maybe you're not sowing what you reap yet, and you ought to be real thankful for this, and you ought to praise God for this, you're experiencing the unbelievable mercy of God. And if you're here tonight, and whoever I just described you, you're in a church service tonight where you've got another chance to get that thing confessed, to get that thing right, and to get it on the mercy of God before you reap what you've sown. It's a promise. He's not slack concerning this promise. We're going to address this promise that is coming. But let me tell you, some other ones in there. And there's a lot of them. And I'm just going to give you a couple. But Proverbs 28:20 says this. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And I understand we have struggles, and I understand we have trials, and I understand we don't always know what's going on, and we surely don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And the Bible tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But I'll tell you what we do know, and not just know, we have a promise from God that says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I'll tell you what, you want to seal your future, you just mark it down to be faithful, because God never backed out of a promise yet. Faithful, there's a lot of areas to be faithful in. Faithful to come to church, faithful to read your Bible, faithful to pray, faithful to witness, faithful to love your wife, faithful to love your husband, faithful to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, so say it's hard. Listen, I was lost for 37 years. That was hard. The way of transgressors is hard. But a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I don't know about you, but I'm counting on that promise. There's a lot of things I don't have down pat, but at least I can be faithful to the fundamentals. I'll tell you something else now, another promise. I'll give you another promise that the Lord's not slack concerning. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 4, Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now that's right there, and that's in black and white, and that's relevant for the day and age which we live. And I don't care what they say in the Supreme Court, and I don't care what they say in Hollywood, and I don't care what they say in People Magazine, that's a promise of God. And boy, I'll tell you what, you got an issue in one of them areas, you better get that mercy of God sooner than later, because who knows when the judgment of God is going to fall. Oh yeah, He's a merciful God, but I wouldn't push it too long, because you've been served notice tonight that the whoremonger and adulterer God will judge. How about this? How about Ephesians chapter 6? There's a couple of promises there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's every kid's favorite verse. For this is right. There's no comma. There's no parentheses. There's no extenuating circumstances. That's just Bible. And that's Pauline doctrine to the New Testament church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But I do want to bring attention to the period, because that ends that sentence. And the next sentence begins in verse 2. And it says this, honor. It says, honor thy father and mother. Gee, where have I heard that before? Oh yeah, that made the top 10 back in Exodus chapter 20, didn't it? Yeah, one of God's top 10. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We're talking about the promises of God. God made a promise concerning honoring, amen, your father and your mother. And here's the promise. That, verse 3, that it may be well with thee. Oh, two parts. And thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, we want to read those verses so quick. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor the father. And like it's all pertains to children. But I'm going to tell you again, I'm going to point out again, that the verse about children ends in verse 1. This thing right here doesn't end when you turn 18. This doesn't end when you turn 21. This doesn't end when you turn 31. That Bible says to honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thy days be long on the earth. And that doesn't expire when you get married and have your own kids. God puts a lot of emphasis on that. Why? Because it's a type of honoring Him. You think you're ever going to outgrow that? You think you're supposed to honor God? And then, oh, I'm 18 now. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, you can. Have a nice day. Let's see how that works out for you. Let me tell you something here about the Word of God. The antithesis of that verse is equally true. What does that mean? What do you mean, Brother Spurgeon? If you dishonor your father and your mother, it won't be well with thee. It's not going to go well for you. The Bible says so. Say, well, my mom and dad, they're heathen, renegade, dopehead. Don't dishonor them. God puts a lot of emphasis on that. That's a promise of God. I mean, you can go to God and say, God, I want to hold you to the promise that it'll be well with me and my days will be long in the earth because I honored my father and my mother. What are you going to do when things are going crazy in your life and you know you didn't? What are you going to do then? God's serious, man. God makes statements. He gives you blessings and promises, and they're true. He's not slack concerning his promise. In the context tonight is the promise of his coming. But, you know, how can I not remind you that there's some other things that are real relevant to you and I in here tonight in this day and age that we're faced with regularly, that's in the news all the time. Let me tell you something. God's way is the way. All right. Where's the promise of his coming? He promised to come back, and he's coming back. You mark that thing down. That's what I want to preach on tonight. That was the intro. Father, I do love you tonight. I thank you for manifesting yourself in this church these last few days and many days prior. Lord, I know when I go into a place that preparation, prayerful preparation has been made. Some people think all there is to do to get ready for a meeting is to assign activities and meals and get a campground or a hotel for the preacher and plan a trip or an activity. Lord, I can walk into a place after this many years and I can tell whether a meeting's been prayed for. I can tell by the spirit of a thing if people are there because they want to be here, because they've been shamed or guilt-tripped into it. And there's always a little of stuff like that, but God, there's been a good spirit here tonight. Lord, I am these last two nights, and I am reminded how, to me, I don't know exactly how many years ago, but I remember when, during the course of the week, this church was pretty sparse on the weekdays. And there was a lot more hit or miss, but God, you blessed this week. And I know that that's attributed to spiritual growth in this church. And God, I am really happy to be associated and looking forward to see the great and mighty things you're going to do. The First Bible. Lord God, I don't know how long you're going to tarry, so I'm asking you to do something great and mighty tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd guide my thoughts and give me the ability to say something that'll help somebody tonight in whatever area they need help. Thou knowest. And Lord, we'll thank you if that could happen in the precious name of Jesus, like we've been talking about and singing about. Lord God, tonight, the whole purpose of Jesus Christ manifesting himself in the flesh was to go to the cross to make a way for sinners to be saved. So, Lord God, our greatest desire tonight is if there's someone in here that's not saved, that they'd see their need, and not just their need, but see that you met that need. And then all they need to do with an honest heart is call upon your name, confessing their sinners and believing that what you did on that cross was capable of cleansing them from all sin. I tried it.
I've never been the same. And my life's never been the same. But most importantly at all, my eternity has never been the same. Thank you, Lord, for delivering my wretched soul from hell and allowing me to have access, eternal access to a place I can't even comprehend. But it's fun thinking about, it's fun singing about, and it's really going to be fun to spend eternity finding out the details about it. I love you tonight, Lord. Move in our midst, I pray, and with promise to give you the praise you're worthy of and the honor and glory that only you deserve for anything that goes right. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Verse number 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." We know what the promise is. "As some men count slackness," who's that? The scoffers. Where's the promise of his coming? You know, the critics, the atheists, all that, all those that try to discourage us. Amen? You know what I figured out this morning? The fact that there are atheists prove there's a God. Their very existence. Why would it make anybody mad that you and I believe in God? Why would it make anybody mad that we have the Ten Commandments statue somewhere? If they didn't believe in God, why would that even bother them? Oh, they believe in Him. They just don't want to be told what to do. They need somebody to tell them what to do. And somebody's going to tell them what to do. And it's going to go like this. "Depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And he's going to say that and send them off with a nail-pierced hand that he got purchasing their very redemption. But they didn't accept it. I'm glad I don't have to ponder that reality very long because I'm going to miss it altogether. Amen. I'm not going to get in on that. I want to give you three reasons. Where is the promise of his coming, they said. In verse 9 again, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some men count slackness, but if..." I'm going to give you three things out of this verse that are the reason that he hasn't come back yet. First of all, it says, "But his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Those three things right there, I'm going to give you reasons why he hasn't come back as of this writing, 66 A.D., and why he hasn't come back today, 1949 years later. Number one, he's long-suffering. You know, if it said he's long-suffering, comma, not willing that any should perish, you would get that. That is not what it says. Peter is writing this to Christians who, again, if you read through the chapter, man, there's some pretty heavy stuff in this chapter. Stuff about, about Noah's flood. Stuff about the second coming. Stuff about the new heaven and the new earth. Stuff that many professing Christians in this day don't even have a clue about. They don't know if he's coming, when he's coming. They think that if we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, that we're going to usher in the kingdom. Beloved, turn on the news tomorrow and go from channel to channel. And as you see the world as it is today, this is the best mankind is ever going to do. This is the kingdom we've ushered in. Jesus Christ and Christ alone is going to straighten it out.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Is long-suffering to usward. To usward, he's talking to Christians. Let me tell you something. The first reason that Christ hadn't returned as of that writing and now many years later is because he's still long-suffering to us. Word. Amen. Let me tell you something. In that Bible, you need to underline, highlight, circle
the word long-suffering every time it pertains to mankind, to you and I. Amen. Amen. You ought to amen the long-suffering of God. He's very patient. First of all, today, I'm talking to those of us that are saved. He's long-suffering to us work. Listen, when you read Romans chapter 6, and you get down to that last verse, and that's great Roman road stuff. It says the wages of sin is death. That Romans chapter 6 isn't written to lost people. The context of Romans chapter 6 is believers. And he says the wages of sin is death. And boy, I got a hold of that one day and realized that I've given God just cause to take my life many times since I got saved. The wages of sin is death. He's got the right to kill us. He doesn't. Why? Long suffering. He's long suffering. Number one reason he hadn't come back yet is he's long suffering to us. Us word. Okay? Take your Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 3. We talk about the last days. We like to be in the last days because we know that this last days apostate Christianity situation precedes the trumpet, precedes the Lord saying, come up hither. Revelation chapter 4. Amen. We don't want to believe we're part of the Laodicean church. Let's look at the Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, and you're familiar with it. I know you are. In verse number 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Notice that capital A. Any wonderment about who's talking? Thus saith the Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll help you with that. I'll answer my own question. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. So that's who's talking. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What a thing for the Lord to say about the church. It was brought up very well in the men's prayer breakfast the other day. Brother Mike was talking about lukewarm, the temperature. I never seen it like that before. I will use it. Besides right now, I'm using it right now. The temperature of lukewarm, what's cold? 45 degrees, that cold? 40 degrees, that cold? 32 is freezing, so 40 would be cold. The boiling point is 212, so, 150 degrees, that'd be hot, 160. But what's lukewarm? How about this? How about 98.6? When you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit, you're lukewarm. That's the normal body temperature. He says, this is what I got. This is what the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God, says about that. Well, I'm not going to imitate that because you'd get wet. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And he says, why? Verse 17. Here's why. Because thou sayest. It's not what they did or didn't do. Because thou sayest, I am rich. And increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Amen. And then it goes on and says, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. You know that verse in Galatians and other verses where it says, be not deceived? That crowd right there is deceived. Amen. To think I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and then to be in that condition, boy, they are very deceived. Wretched. That's an interesting word. It means despicable. And I'll give you an example of it in the Bible. When Paul agonizes over the battle between the flesh and the spirit, with the flesh too often prevailing, here's what he says. Oh, wretched man that I am. If the greatest Christian that ever walked on the earth after Christ left, I'll give you that one, was grieved about the presence of sin in his life. Amen. Maybe we should be more grieved about the presence of sin in our lives. Amen. That's a good place for an amen. He says, the church is saying to Jesus Christ, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord says, and you don't even know. Knowest not that thou art wretched. It'd be one thing to be wretched and know it. But to be wretched and not know it? And not know it? And saying, I'm good. I'm good. Need of nothing. I got it handled. Everything's cool. That's what we say. That's what some of you are saying when you should be coming down an old-fashioned altar. You're sitting there and you're telling yourself, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm good. No, you're wretched. And you're deceived, too. Trying to help you. Trying to help you tonight. Miserable. He said, wretched and miserable. Hey, look, man. When I was lost, I was in a motorcycle gang. I was partying. I was a dope head. I was a drunk. I was a whatever I was. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I wasn't. I wasn't miserable. I thought I was having a good time. Amen. I'd been on Sunset Strip at midnight on a Friday night in Hollywood, California, driving up and down the road with a preacher in a van looking at thousands and thousands of lost people trying to get all them into those clubs that those idiots in People magazine say you need to go to. And we're driving around down there with scripture just to see the masses. And you know what? I mean, they're going to be miserable when they wake up tomorrow with a black eye. They're going to be miserable when they wake up with a hangover. They're going to be miserable in the morning when their money's gone. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, they're not miserable. That lost world is saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And they think they're having the time of their life. Conversely, I've seen Christians with terminal diseases knowing that the day was approaching when they were going to stand before their God, have more joy in their life, knowing they were dying. But there's another crowd. That's the Christian with joy, even when things are bad. There's a lost person that's trying to be happy and thinks they're happy. And you can get up here and preach. They're all miserable if you want to. But that might be good preaching. But would you tell us the truth once? I'm going to tell you who's miserable. That person with the Holy Spirit of God inside of them, that person that's called upon the name of the Lord, somewhere, someplace, some pit they got into, some trouble, whatever circumstance that God had orchestrated to get them to look up and call upon the name of the Lord. And the sad truth is, many of us would never do that unless we got ourselves in so much trouble we couldn't get ourselves out. That was my case. And then we'll, oh God, of course I'm a sinner. If you died for sin, amen, I need that and I want that. And I believe some people really get saved that way because God really made it that simple. And then when things get smoothed out and the flesh takes back over, they're miserable because the Holy Spirit of God inside is quenched. Amen. There's no relationship with the Word of God. There's no fellowship with the saints. That Holy Spirit's in there screaming, help! And we just turn up the volume, man. And I've been out there, out and about, and seen people. I've seen people that look truly mean. And I used to wonder about it. I used to wonder about some of my own crew. Because some were, all of us were happy-go-lucky, do whatever we had to do. But some were flat-out, almost supernatural mean. And I've come to find out, they're probably saved. And so far from God. I'm going to tell you what, here, let me try to put it in simpler terms. The most miserable human beings I ever met were people that were saved and were not walking with God and would not walk with God, and they're in the flesh, and the flesh is calling the shots, and even when they get coerced or guilt-tripped or shamed into coming into a church, you're so stinking miserable! Man, I don't know how you're going to live like that. I don't know why you'd want to live like that. But I know a lot of people live like that. He's saying to people that claim to be saved, that I'm good. No, you're not. You're wretched. You're miserable. And then the next one, it says poor. Poor. Wait. The testimony was I'm rich. But Jesus says they're poor, so there's got to be a problem. They said, rich and increaseth goods. And here's the problem. Yeah, you know what that tells me? That tells me that there's a lot of Christians in this age laying up much more treasure down here than they are in heaven. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 12. Go ahead and go there. Go ahead and go there. Luke chapter 12. Give me a chance to get a drink of water. Boy, those are the cheapest bottles. They make more noise than I do. Got them in Jersey. Sussex. Way far from here. I love Jersey. We had a great meeting there last week. 25-year-old gal got saved last Sunday. Yeah, man. All right, where am I talking about? Luke chapter 12, look at verse 17. Luke chapter 12. Let me put a marker right there in case. You probably know the passage better than I do. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 17. I think that's where I want to start. All right, let's just start at 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't need anything. I'm good. Yeah, I can see. I can tell. Okay. He says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Increased, right? And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Fruits. Amen. It said in the fruit that John's talking about in chapter 15, that brings honor and glory to God. Not that kind of fruit. Keep going. Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. He's talking to himself and answering himself. Yeah, watch that. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits. And what else? And my goods. Amen. Verse 20. Well, let's read verse 19. And I will say to my soul, this guy must not have any friends at all. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. Yeah, that's what Jesus says. Thou fool. Nice, sweet. Never raise his voice. Never offensive. Jesus says, you're a fool. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. These guys say, this testimony, this church, this could be you. I hope it's not you. If it is, get it straightened out. It says, I am rich and increase the goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord said, no, you're not. You don't even know. You're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor. Spiritually, you're poor. Blind. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let me say this. When a church gets so wrapped up in numbers and building and programs, when a church gets consumed with promoting and pleasing itself rather than Jesus Christ, when a church loses its vision to reach souls that Jesus Christ died for, beloved, it's blind. And that's the last days, and that's where we live. And he finishes with naked. First, Peter 5 and 5 says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the other, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. To say to Jesus Christ, I have need of nothing. I don't know. That sounds pretty arrogant to me. Doesn't sound like humble. Doesn't sound like clothed with humility. It says, I got it together. And Jesus said, you don't even have it anywhere close to being together. Amen. No church should have a testimony of being arrogant. No Christian needs to be clothed with arrogance.
Let me tell you something, beloved. The first reason the Lord hadn't come back is that he's long-suffering to usward. Because where these situations exist, they need to be repented of. They need to be repented of. What's he waiting for? Giving us chance after chance after chance, preaching and fellowshipping and testimony and the songs and everything you can do to bear witness to the precious word so that we can repent of this. You don't want to go into eternity and give an account for all that, do you? Or any of that, do you? To be all or any of these things is one thing, but to be all of them and not know it? No wonder he says, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Where's the promise of his coming? The Bible says the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us. To us. That's you and I tonight. That's us, First Bible. He's long-suffering to usward. That's the first reason. The ministry of the church. This week, I mean, this isn't an evangelical tent meeting. This is a meeting for this church. To get stirred up and be refreshed with the preaching of God's Word so we can get our vision lined up with His and get, you know, some self-examination going. And if there's some area, and I don't have any reason to believe that anybody in here is guilty of all that, you wouldn't have come. You wouldn't need it. But I got every reason to believe that somebody in here is guilty of some of that, and that all of us, collectively, that's our state. And let's deal with it before we are guilty of all of it. Because when you are, we won't be able to find you with a warrant. But the Lord will know where you are. And you'll give an account of it. All right. Number one. Why hasn't the Lord come back? Because he's long-suffering to us, the Christians. But then it says, not willing that any should perish. And he hadn't come back yet. And that pertains to people that aren't saved yet. And you may be in here tonight and you're not saved yet. And the Lord's put off his return to give you another chance too, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And verse 17 said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I got news for you. When he says whosoever, that's what he means. That's what he means. He'll say from the uttermost to the guttermost, I guess. I mean, I'm coming from the guttermost side of it. Amen. I was at the bottom. Brother quoted the verse tonight. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. Now, maybe he pulled you off a mountaintop somewhere, but you need to be saved just as much as I did. And that's okay, because you can be just as much as I could. In God's economy, the playing field is absolutely level. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're on the street Saturday, and this woman stomps across the street. And she's all mad because one of the sisters, you know, was talking to her. And she looked at me. I'm standing over the sign, you know. And she goes, that woman told me I'm a sinner. And I said, yeah, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. That means you. You're saved here tonight. You're a sinner saved by grace. You're in here tonight and you're not saved. You're a sinner. You need to be saved by grace. Your sin will take you to hell. Jesus Christ died for sin. So that wouldn't happen. I mean, you're not going to find a better deal than that anymore. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And we're talking about the promise of who he'll save. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And so, now, with that being true, we know that's true. He's not willing that any should perish. So I just wonder if that doesn't mean this, church. When we don't witness, we don't even have a desire to witness, or we don't support the work of the gospel, we just think we're doing our duty by showing up when it doesn't conflict. Doesn't that kind of translate into we are willing that some should perish? God's not. And he gives us opportunities. But when you don't even have a burden, doesn't that mean you don't really care if people go to hell or not? You're not gone if you say it. Something wrong with that, beloved. Something needs to get straightened out about that. and God gives you another chance to get something straight about that. Because the third reason, the final reason, and some of you are very happy to hear me say that, the reason the Lord hasn't come back yet, number one, was that he's long-suffering to us Christians. Number two, is that he's not willing that any should perish, to you that aren't Christians. And then number three is that all should come to repentance. All. I looked it up. Hello. It means all. Amen. And in the context, it means all without exception. It means everybody. Amen. To the Christian, Jesus Christ said this in verse 18 of Revelation 3. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that it mayest be, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eye salve, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Say, how do you do that? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, what if he just said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, repent. You know what that be zealous is? The more zealous you are, the less rebuke and chastening you're going to have to endure. He's saying that all should come to repentance. And if you're in here and you're saved tonight, and you know there's some things that you do not want to give an account for, or maybe you need to think about the fact that 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, your sins are taken care of, but there's some things you're going to give an account for as to how you, what you did with the Christian life Christ bought for you. And if there's something you know going on in your life you don't want to give an account for, you better get that thing taken care of down here. And you better repent of it. And you can. And you can take advantage of his long suffering. And that's what the purpose of the meeting is. And that's what the purpose of the message is. You need to repent. And while you can, and you'll be glad you did. The invitation is simple. Luke chapter 15, everybody knows it, verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Now, if you're saved, then the invitation for you is to consider what it is you may need to repent about. And you know, oh, they say, oh, gee, I wonder if there's that. You probably know exactly what it is. Why don't you get that thing taken care of tonight? What if you're the one holding the rapture up? Amen? Boy, God's long-suffering to us. And he's given us another chance. And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, boy, the Lord's given that chance to you too. The Bible said he died for our sins. According to Scripture, this isn't about a denomination. This isn't about a church. This is about Jesus Christ and what he told us in his book. And you can get in on the gift of God and the forgiveness. Pardon. That's one of my favorite Bible words. That pardon's available. Amen. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man's thoughts will return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. So whatever the need, let the Lord meet it tonight. He's coming back. And I don't know when it is, but I know that he's given us a couple reasons in this passage why. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, man, why don't you deal with God tonight? Let's all stand. Preacher, you come.
There's a verse in Hebrews that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, there's another verse I think of tonight. It says, he that being often reproved, you know, that long suffering means that judgment for our own sin in our life as Christians doesn't always come immediately. God is long-suffering. As a child of God, you can hear a reproof, hear a warning and a message, hear it, read it in the Word of God, You know what we do with it many times? We neglect it. We just flat out reject it. And then the Lord reproves us again, maybe through another message. Or another time we're sitting down and reading our Bible. Or someone that cares about us gives us a reproof, even in love. And that habit or that behavior continues, and it continues. And the Lord is long-suffering, so there's often many reproofs. He that being often reproved. And then it says, but when you harden yourself to that reproof, then sudden destruction comes. But God is still long-suffering. And you don't know when that long-suffering of God will end for you. Many, for most people, it comes sooner than they expected. A lot sooner than they expected. The hammer came down, and they thought they had a little longer to get away with their sin. More than one Christian has experienced that. And I hope that wouldn't be said or be true of anyone in here tonight, that these messages, we've prayed for these meetings, and we've prayed that God would bring us exactly the messages that we need. Getting together like this is not a social activity for us. This is not just to have cake and play ping pong after church. We got together here tonight because this church needed what God was going to bring us through these messages. That was our prayer. And so I believe that when the preacher prays over these things, and I know he does, and prepares his heart and brings us a message, then I'm assuming and I believe that that message is from God for us at this hour. And so the greatest thing we could do, the greatest tragedy we could ever do, is to neglect it. Just to hear it and, okay, I know there'll be another one tomorrow night. Maybe I'll get it right tomorrow night. There's a few more meetings. Before the end of the week, I'm going to get it right. But I just hope we won't put anything off tonight. If there's anything going on in your heart tonight and that message hit you personally between the eyes, then you know what? Don't assume you got tomorrow night to deal with it. Or you're young, you got a while to work on that thing. Why not assume that tonight might be the only opportunity you have to get it right? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And how shall we escape if we neglect? That doesn't say reject, that just says neglect. Neglect means, I'll take care of it later. Now, if you're here tonight and you're saved and you've been neglecting some things in your life, you've been neglecting the book. You've been neglecting being honest with God and getting things right, examining yourself and repenting of the things that God points out to you through the preaching. If you've been neglecting that and putting it off and putting it off, I'm just urging you, pleading with you tonight. Why don't you respond to the Spirit of God? If the Lord was dealing with you tonight about anything at all, then you know that that throne of grace is open to you. That throne of grace is wherever you bow your heart and bend your knee to Jesus Christ. Here is fine, there is fine, but come to that throne of grace and get the mercy that you need and the grace that you need to help in a time of need. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. And don't harden your heart against it tonight. What shall we sing, Keith?
We'll sing
393. There's a songbook near you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And if the Lord's dealing with you about something, don't delay. Don't delay. And don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about anybody else here. Don't worry about what a friend might think. But this is an opportunity for you and me to respond to what the Spirit of God has said to us. To respond instead of, letting it go in one ear and out the other. If God was speaking to you, please, then you do what you should tonight and you respond to the Lord and you get it right with God. All right?
Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice, amen, and let, amen, me sing all King, always only for my King.
Amen.
Take my lips and let them
Amen.
Be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
I remember when I was a young man growing up in church. I grew up in a Christian home, but I was like a lot of young people today. I knew the gospel. I heard the gospel from the time I was a kid. But I really didn't want anything to do with it. I played a game in church, you know. I came to church. My parents made me come to church. But it wasn't anything that I wanted. Went to Sunday school class. But I was looking for those opportunities just to, when my parents weren't looking, to live the life that I wanted to live. And every church service, the part I hated the most was the end. The invitation. Because there were times when the preaching made me feel ashamed of what I was. I wasn't saved, but it made me feel ashamed of my sin. God was tugging at my heart. God was dealing with me. And I got good, and in that invitation time, bracing myself for the inevitable. And just being stubborn in my heart, telling myself, you're not budging. You're not going to budge. You're not going to budge. You're going to be, that's just weakness. That's just weakness. You don't need to do that. You don't need that. It'll be over in a minute. And you know, talk about giving God more than enough reason to kill me. I gave Him a reason every week. I gave Him a good reason every week just to have taken my life. And I'm glad for that long suffering of God. But I tell you what, don't get good at resisting the Spirit of God. Don't get experienced at that. Don't be proud of yourself because you survived another invitation and made it out of here without bowing your heart and yielding to the Lord. That is nothing to be proud of. That is nothing at all to be proud of. If the Lord was dealing with you this evening and you did not yield to Jesus Christ, that's just one more reason to be ashamed. The greatest thing that you could do would just be to respond. If God spoke to your heart, give you an opportunity. Is there another verse? I don't have a book in front of me.
We'll do it again.
Okay. Give you an opportunity. And let me say this. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, listen, you're among friends. You are among friends. If you're not saved tonight, please, you can step out of your seat, or you can lift your hand, or you can come to us at the end of the service, and we'll sit somewhere privately and show you, open up a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven. We're not talking about making you adopt Christianity. We're talking about a Savior and the love that He has for you and the gift that He has for you, the new life that He has for you. And all you have to do is just receive it. You just receive it. That's all there is tonight. Just accept Him, receive Him, and He gives you that everlasting life, His mercy and His forgiveness. It's here as a gift to you tonight. And if you're here tonight and that's what you need, if you need to be saved, then we invite you also. Please come and we'll speak with you and show you out of the Bible how you can know that you're saved. All right, Brother Keith?
All right, from the top. On the
come
first.
Ahead.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and
Listen, I want you just to bow. We're going to be dismissed. I want you to bow your heads, though, before we go. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just ask you this question tonight. You can honestly say, the best that I know how tonight, the best that I'm not asking you, are you a perfect Christian tonight? But be honest with God. You say, the best that I know how tonight, things are right between me and the Lord this evening. Things are right in my heart between me and the Lord this evening. Can you lift your hand to that? Would you attest to that tonight? Okay, all right. Now some of you, praise the Lord for your honesty. And you knew tonight it would have been dishonest for you to lift your hand and say that things were right between you and God. So I'm wondering, why aren't you willing to yield your heart to God tonight? Why are you going to take a chance on waiting another day, another hour? Why would you risk that? Why? Why would you presume God is going to give you another day or another hour? Don't take that chance. Don't take that chance. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you one more question. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, I'm not really sure I'm saved. I'm not certain I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it, and I would appreciate your prayers. Please pray for me. Is there anyone like that here this evening? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. I promise you, we're not going to embarrass you. Yes, sir. We're not going to embarrass you. Anyone else? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'm concerned about it, and I would appreciate your prayers. Is there anyone else? Just slip your hand up. I'm not trying to trick you into something. I want to offer you the help that was offered to every one of us. The free gift of God. If you're here tonight, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you'd say, but I want to know for sure. I want to know I'm saved. I want to know I have eternal life. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. Slip your hand up, put it right back down. Anyone else? We're going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. And if you need to talk to us about knowing how to be saved, then we're going to stay right here and be available for you right after the service. And we can talk in private. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful tonight for the message. We're so thankful tonight for the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we know that you have presented these messages for us, Lord, in answer to prayer, in answer to the preparations of our brother's heart. And we're thankful, Lord, we know that this is what you wanted us to hear. And I know that some of our folks tonight heard your voice and got some things right. But it's also obvious, Lord, that many are just not willing to do that. And Father, I pray for them. We can't coerce them into that, Lord, but we just pray. We pray that you may give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And they might be able to deliver themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Lord, give them the grace. Give them the eyes to see the thing the way it really is. Help them that they might not neglect their soul. And Lord, that judgment of God would come sooner than they expected. Catch them unaware. Please help them, Lord. We love them. We just pray that you do a work in their heart, Lord. I pray for this man that lifted his hand to be saved. Father, may you do a work in his heart. May tonight be the night of his salvation. Help him, Lord, that he would see how simple it is, see how free it is, see how permanent and eternal it is. May you also see tonight that it's through one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you give him that gift of God, which is eternal life. And Father, we're thankful for the good things that you're doing, but more so, Lord, we're just thankful for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior and friend. Thank you for being our constant companion. Lord, thank you for being our life, our reason for living, our reason for singing. Thank you, Lord, that you prepared a place in heaven for us and that we're going to see you face to face one day soon. And I pray you'd help get this church ready. I pray we might not be like that Laodicean church. Just going through the motions, doing things in the flesh, walking as if we had no need of the Holy Spirit of God, no need of repentance, no need of your book. Lord, please help us. It's so easy to play church. And Lord, I just pray that we might be a church that is ready and sees that day approaching. Thank you for your people tonight. We pray you get everybody home safe. And we just thank you for all these things now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we walk out the door, let me let you know, tonight or remind you of something. Tonight is Lynn's last night with us, this dear sweet sister. Or Lynn, are you, where are you, hon? Right over here. This dear sweet sister that got saved 5 weeks ago on the street in Manhattan as we were preaching there. And she goes back to China tomorrow. We have made contact with a national pastor there, a Chinese pastor, who's going to be looking her up and going to try to get in touch with him on the phone tonight. But also we prepared some, there's some cake and coffee downstairs. And so if you can stay, I know some of you need to go, but if you can stay and have some fellowship and just spend a little time to say goodbye to Lynn and, you know, just let her know that you're going to be praying for her, okay? And show her some love from First Bible Church, okay? All right. God bless you. We're dismissed. All right.